This is the April 21st meeting of the Connecticut Medical Examining Board. This is Jeff Cardis from the Department of Public Health, Board Liaison. Just a couple of brief announcements before we begin. First off, please put your phones on mute unless you're talking. That will cut down any background interference. Secondly, pursuant to Governor Lamont's Executive Order 7B, all public meetings held during the COVID-19 pandemic must be recorded, and then the recording will be posted to the board's website within 7 days. I'm going to take attendance, or I'm going to ask that we take attendance of the board members present. I'll read your names and just indicate if you are present. Kathy Emmett, Mr. Andrews, Carol Ekomedes, Dr. Eugene, and Dr. Green, Michelle Jacqueline, Dr. London, Dr. Patel, Jean Rexford, Dr. Reese, Dr. Sauer, Dr. Schwint, Dr. Wan, Dr. Wolf, Mr. McEnany, Dr. Katz, Dr. Zeman, and Dr. Duffy. Okay, Kathy, you have a quorum. Everybody's present except for Mr. Andrews, Dr. Duffy, and Dr. Eugene. Okay, you can go ahead. Thank you.
Reviewing his file and looking at his ACOG MOC, where he is board certified and has maintained MOC. I don't believe that's necessary.
Okay. Dr. Green, that was you, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Is there any other discussion concerning this pending motion? All right. In that case, I'm going to go with the same procedure again. Is there anyone opposed to recommending that his license be reinstated? I hear no response. Is there anyone abstaining from the motion to recommend a reinstatement of his license? All right, I hear no response, so it's unanimous recommendation from the board that his license be reinstated.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Thank you.
The next matter on the agenda is the proposed memorandum of decision concerning Dr. Kakra Giambibi. And I assume Mr. Attorney Tillis and Attorney Mary Alice Moore-Leonhard are present, is that right?
Yes, David Tillis.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Mary Alice Moore-Leonhard, and I am present, as is Dr. Kakra Giambibi on the line as well.
Good afternoon. Okay, so I'm not totally sure how we ought to proceed on this. Myself, Dr. Green, and Dr. Katz were the panel members on this proposed memorandum of decision. I assume everybody read it. I don't know, Attorney Tillis, do you want to say anything? And Attorney Lenhart, do you want to say anything?
Well, I'll speak first, because obviously it was our statement of charges. The department has no objection to the proposed memorandum, and I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. And on behalf of Dr. Giambibi, we appreciate the time and effort that went into this hearing process, and Dr. Giambibi accepts the proposed memorandum of decision.
Okay. I would like to ask for a motion to approve the proposed memorandum, and then if there's any discussion, we could have that after the motion's on the floor.
Second, any moves to approve?
All All right, is there a second?
This is Carol. I second the motion.
Okay, so let me ask now, is there any discussion that or commentary that anyone would like to make about the proposed memorandum?
This is Wolf. I have a question for the panel.
Yes.
I'm just curious why there was no fine attached, unless there were federal fines that you felt there was sort of double jeopardy. Just curious why there was no monetary penalty on behalf of the state.
Well, I can speak to that, or Dr. Green or Dr. Katz, but in fact, there was a very significantly substantial federal penalty. I think it was the panel's view that any further monetary penalty was really unwarranted. Dr. Green, Dr. Katz, would you weigh in on this, please?
I agree. I think you've answered the question appropriately.
I agree with that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion concerning this motion to approve the proposed memorandum? All right, in that case, I'm going to follow the same procedure. Is there anyone opposed to approval of the proposed memorandum of decision? I don't hear any response. Is there anyone abstaining from approving the proposed memorandum of decision?
Yes, Sauer here. My employer of record is the Northeast Medical Group, Yale New Haven Health, and that was one of her previous employers, so I will abstain.
Okay, is there any other abstention? All right, then in that case, all voting in favor except for the one abstention by Dr. Sauer. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, the next matter is Dr. Bayan.
Yep.
And it is a request for a reinstatement hearing.
Philip Russell, I'm on the call if you can hear me, Dr. Bayan.
We can hear you.
And Diane Willand for the department.
Okay, well, Attorney Russell, why don't you present your request?
We came into this suspension late in the game. Initially, Dr. Bayan represented himself, and had he been represented by counsel, I'm fairly confident that this probably would have gone directly to the HAVE program and would have been resolved at that level. I think we submitted pretty compelling documentation that during his 1 year of suspension, Dr. Bayan has done everything requested of him. And more importantly, it has had the desired effect, and he is capable of practicing medicine now. He'd like a chance to demonstrate that to the board.
Thank you. Attorney Willing?
Yes, I just wanted to let the board know with regard to his MOD. That was effective on May 1st, and it required Dr. Bayan to engage in psychiatric therapy twice a month for the entire four-year period, with two reports to the department for 6 months and then one report per month thereafter. So Dr. Bayan did not begin to come into compliance until October of 2019. And since then, he has been mostly in compliance. He's missed a couple of the therapy sessions that are required, and I don't see anything after February. Perhaps he's had more visits and we haven't caught up with the reports yet. So the department is actually not taking any position with regard to whether the board grants him a hearing or not, but I just wanted to provide that information for their consideration.
I agree with everything that's said, and I think that we can meet most of the challenges, most challenges raised by those questions at an appropriate hearing. He is certainly up to the minute. I'm not asking you to rely on that, but at the hearing, I will produce evidence that he's up to the minute on treatment, monitoring, and all the other conditions. I think if we can set a hearing date, there will be adequate information for the committee to fairly consider the application at that time. So my question, really, at this point, the question is whether I can be heard. Quite a lot of information.
Madam Chairwoman?
Yes.
It's Dr. Zeman.
Who's speaking, please?
Dr. Zeman,
yes. Yep.
I was chair of the hearing panel, and I have two comments. First of all, I did not find the evaluations by Dr. Minas to be at all comprehensive or detailed. They were very cursory and brief. And don't give me my reaction is I didn't have sufficient information to know if indeed there's been substantial progress made or what areas of difficulty might still remain. And I would recommend that the board have a more complete report from Dr. Minas before we have a rehearing, or have an independent consultant do an independent psychiatric evaluation. Secondly, Dr. Minas did note that neuropsychological testing was done, and I would recommend that the board should have the opportunity to review a testing report before there's a rehearing.
Okay.
Hi, it's Terry Colson from the AG's office. I just wanted to let the board know what the statutory requirements were for deciding whether to grant or deny the motion that is before you. It's a two-step process before you get to a hearing. One, you have to decide whether you're going to grant it. If you grant it, then it could go to a hearing. If you deny it, that's the end of the motion. It doesn't mean that the applicant can't reapply at a later time with more sufficient information, if that's what the board is looking for. But the statute requires that the practitioner demonstrate in its motion that the practitioner is able to practice with reasonable skill and safety to patients, customers, or the public in general. So what the board's task is right now is to take a look at what has been submitted and just see if they meet that threshold requirement of the statute.
Okay, Attorney Colson, in other words, in order even to entertain a motion, we need to be satisfied that there is evidence, I guess, that the practitioner can practice safely in regard to the public. Is that a fair characterization?
Right now, right. What you're looking at is whether they've made sufficient allegations that warrant you granting them a hearing. And if you feel as though what has been submitted is not sufficient, then the motion should be denied. It doesn't mean that they can't go ahead and reapply and provide information that would meet those threshold requirements, but you don't get to a hearing until the board finds that there's sufficient evidence so far that's been submitted. At the hearing itself, the board can then weigh that evidence and hear counter evidence if the department so chooses to submit it.
Understood.
Yes. Is that Dr. Green?
It is. I have a number of comments. First of all, I agree with Dr. Zeman. I don't believe we have enough, documentation at this time to support a hearing. So if I may, I put my thoughts down on paper. If I get carried away, stop me. Attorney Russell stated that he shares in Dr. Minas' optimism that Bayan is ready to resume work, and we believe that this will be supported in any independent medical eval that the department may require. Attorney Russell is entitled to his optimism, but his opinion is not qualified to determine whether Dr. Byatt is in fact capable of returning to practice. Number two, Dr. Byatt suffered the known adverse reactions of methylphenidate, of psychosis, mania, and aggressive behavior through incompetent treatment by his psychiatrist wife, who somehow failed to recognize the unintended consequences of her treatment. And again, coming back, and I realize this is not about her, but she needs to be looked at again. Number three, Dr. Byatt has demonstrated himself, unfortunately, to have racist and hate-monger thoughts. The methylphenidate just released the devil inside. We have been given six State of Connecticut therapy reports with a paucity of psychiatric sessions beginning in October, just what Dr. Zeman said, up to February of 2020. As recently as January 15, 2020 session, Dr. Minnis reports, quote, patient upset with not being able to practice medicine feels this is an injustice. It is unclear that Dr. Byatt actually recognizes the seriousness of what he has professed in his diatribes, and it is not clear that Dr. Byatt has demonstrated any remorse for his words or actions or understands the problem. Dr. Byatt should have been mandated to Haven, Dr. Zeman, I think, are in agreement on that, where he would have undergone a comprehensive evaluation and treatment plan as recommended by Dr. Arturo Morales previously, and the department following the initial evaluation by Jocelyn, which did not occur. I personally will not support his return. First, I won't support a hearing at this time. We have insufficient information, as pointed out by Dr. Zeman, who was a psychiatrist. And until I am convinced that this man truly understands the nature of his actions, demonstrates some form of remorse, and recognizes that this is not an injustice, and recognizes and takes responsibility for his words and action. After all, this shouldn't be difficult for a man who characterized himself as a genius. I still believe he's a danger to the public, so I will not support this. That's it, I'm done.
Hello, this is Michelle Jacqueline. Can I speak?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so along with Dr. Zeman and Carol, I was a member of the panel that heard this case, and I would just like to second what has already been said. I will also oppose this request. I would say that there was a great deal of testimony, hours and days. We gave this case a great deal of thought and debate and consideration when we ultimately decided on the length of the penalty that the full board then affirmed. And I don't believe that 5 months of seeing a psychiatrist and these incomplete reports satisfy in any way what we felt needed to be done in this case. So I stand in opposition to Dr. Byatt's request. Thank you.
And this is Carol, and I agree with Dr. Zeman and Jacqueline because I was on this hearing committee. I think it's way too soon to make any decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. We don't have a motion.
If I speak briefly, Philip Russell.
Okay.
I'm in a quandary, and it's not, and I don't dispute what any of the three reviewing physicians, board members, have said. Obviously, we are accelerated in terms of being here prematurely. I'm not going to dispute that. Obviously, there's some more objective testing that could have been done certainly in the past couple of months. Would give the board a more reassuring snapshot of where Dr. Byatt is now. So I think all of those are constructive comments, including the fact that a longer treatment record may be necessary. My application at this time, in light of those comments, would be that this pending application be tabled into the summer, and that we will work with staff and obtain whatever objective testing is appropriate, and we'll submit an interim report, and let's leave this on the agenda. I don't disagree with any of the comments made, except perhaps Dr. Green's tone that this is beyond rehabilitation. I think it was beyond rehabilitation.
I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
All right.
I don't think he really understands the gravity of what he has done and is willing to take responsibility for it. When he made the comment that this is an injustice, that just demonstrates his lack of understanding of the situation. So I agree with Michelle, I agree with Carol and Dr. Zeman. This man needs more treatment, more evaluation, and actually, I think one psychiatrist is not sufficient, just as Dr. Zeman said.
Thank you, Dr. Green. You know, no, I think that's clear what you believe. Attorney Russell, I think from what you said, I don't know that we do table things, but I believe what you said is you'd like for the moment to withdraw this motion and work with the department and then come back to us later with a request. Is that right?
That is my request, and thank you for articulating it better than I did.
No, you did fine. I think that reflects the, you know, sentiment of the board, especially understand it at this point. I don't think the board is prepared to consider the request right now. So I think we'll accept a withdrawal of the request.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. And I'll be back to you probably in the summertime. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Our next item on the agenda is the consent order for Dr. Kelly.
Hi, Brittany Allen from the Department of Public Health.
Well, Catherine, don't we need a vote to deny the request for the hearing?
No.
It was withdrawn. It was okay. Withdrawn.
All right.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Kelly.
Good afternoon, Brittany Allen for the department. Dr. Kelly informed me he would not be available for the call.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry, okay, so this consent order should have been presented to you. This was involving inappropriate prescribing of controlled substances. Back in March of 2018, Dr. Kelly surrendered his controlled substance prescribing permit to DCP and then has been working with the department. I have actually been in touch with DCP, the supervisor over there at drug control, as well as their counsel, and they're willing to reinstate his controlled substance prescribing pursuant to the board approving a consent order with these terms. So this consent order go ahead.
I guess what you just said kind of got garbled. At least I didn't hear it clearly. They're willing to approve his
reinstatement of his controlled substance prescribing, pursuant to the proposed terms of the department's consent order, which included a $5,000 civil penalty, a one-year probation with 20% record review, and then there's one-year monitoring if his controlled substances are reinstated, and that would begin whenever those are reinstated. But the intent of DCP is to reinstate after the board approves.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve this consent order?
Yeah, McEnany moves to approve.
Is there a second?
Bauer moves to second.
Okay. Discussion concerning the motion, please. Any?
Patel, just a quick question. So, I mean, this is a little concerning when a physician is doing this type of behavior. To me, I think we're being a little bit too lenient here. Number one, if this physician is prescribing controlled substances, number one, to another person who he doesn't even know, he hasn't even established any identity with or patient relation with, how is it any different than, you know, giving medication for money, basically, in other words, or being a drug dealer, in other words? So I'm a little concerned about the leniency on this consent order.
Yeah, this is Brittany Allen. So the basis of the Department of Public Health case was reliant on the Department of Consumer Protection's investigation and the information that they provided as well. And it was, we haven't had an issue ongoing beyond the 2014 to 2017. Dr. Kelly has taken coursework, and he was very cooperative with the department, and it seems to fall more in line with cases that the board has had in front of them before, where it's sort of the familiar to see the changes and how opioid prescribing was happening. I do totally understand your concerns, but that is the hope of those monitoring terms that we're putting in place. The 20% record review is independent of any prescribing. That would just be of his practice. And then there's the additional prescription monitoring that would go into effect once his controlled substance permits are reinstated. And my understanding from Department of Consumer Protection is they would incorporate similar probation terms into their own sort of agreement. They're just only willing to entertain that once the Department of Public Health resolves our case. So it's sort of being monitored by both agencies.
Is there other discussion concerning this motion? I don't hear any. In that case, I'm going to ask, is there anyone opposed to approving the motion to approve the consent order?
Patel opposed.
Dr. Patel is opposed. Is anyone else opposed? Is there anyone abstaining? All right, so the consent order is approved with Dr. Patel opposed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next one is Dr. Tello Silva.
Yeah, good afternoon, David Tillis for the department.
Kevin Budge, attorney for Dr. Tello Silva.
Kevin who?
Budge. Okay. Kevin, your voice is a little warbly. I don't know how the board members are hearing you.
Okay, that's better. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks.
Okay. So we've tried to encapsulate this for you in both the allegations and in the cover sheet. Unlike most controlled substance prescribing cases, this does not involve opiates or opioids or pain management. It's limited to benzodiazepines, and the issue is really communication between the doctor and the patient on an ongoing basis, initially and on an ongoing basis, and then the rapidity of discontinuing and the risk of potential seizures as a result. This case was reviewed very carefully by a consultant. We had a compliance conference. Dr. Tello Silva explained what he did in general and what he did with this patient. We brought that information back to the consultant, who looked at it again. And so this is the consent order we've developed out of that, and we think it will address the problem. So we'd ask you to approve it.
I'm sorry, I hung up in the, and I just called back in, so I don't know if I missed anything. Is there Welcome. Anyone other than Attorney Tillis who would like to speak concerning this consent order? All right, let me ask for a motion to approve the consent order.
So moved, Wolf.
Okay, is there a second, please?
Second, Brave.
Okay, I've already asked for discussion, but is there any discussion concerning the motion now that it's on the table? Oh. All right, I don't hear any. Again, following our procedure, is there anyone opposed to approving this consent order? Is there anyone abstaining? All right, the consent order is approved unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So, Jeff, are you sending this electronically? Okay.
Yeah, and the next, yeah, I'm not there to sign. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I just want to make sure we had a pattern for it.
Yes. I'm sorry, that's my grandson joining the meeting. The next matter is the motion to withdraw the statement of charges for Dr. Patak.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Patak. Dr. Patak, are you on the phone?
She was. Go ahead.
All right, so you may recall a month ago you granted the department's motion for summary suspension. And it actually scheduled a hearing, I think, for March 30th. Dr. Patak submitted her voluntary surrender of license affidavit. I think it actually came here the next day. So as we've always done in other cases, since there is, of course, a statement of charges pending, we've filed a motion to withdraw it, and we have accepted the voluntary surrender. And that would end the case. She would no longer have a Connecticut license.
Thank you. Is there a, well, we have a motion. I guess we don't need a motion. Is there a discussion concerning the motion? All right.
I think you would need a motion to accept
to grant it.
Grant the motion. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. May I have a motion to grant the motion, please? Anyone?
No.
I'll move it. As this is Michelle.
Okay. Is second, there a second, Wolf. Please? All right. Is there any discussion concerning the motion to grant the motion? All right. I don't hear any discussion. Is anyone opposed to granting the motion to grant the motion? Is anyone abstaining from the motion to grant the motion? All right, we approve the motion to withdraw the statement of charges. The board approves it, so unanimously, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I don't see any other business on the agenda. And I think all we need to do now is adjourn, unless there's something else.
This is Jeff. Kathy, I will send you the signature pages for the items that were approved today.
Okay.
The next meeting is May 19th. I'm going to assume that we will probably have to have that by telephone again, provided we have any business to attend to. And I will send you the agendas by email and your secure website.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope everyone stays safe and well. And look forward to meeting everyone in person sometime in the future.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I assume we all agree to adjourn, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.